Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody out there in listener land. This is Coach Penn, and this is my show, Third and Long. This week, I have an interesting show for you. I'm going to dissect a lot about women's football and then also preview some college football games and go over some of the things that happened in the NFL this past weekend, basically cover all three realms of college football, pro football, and women's football. It's the off-season for women's football, and since a lot of things aren't going on, I fill my show with other types of football, because if you're a football fan, you're a football fan. You may like one more than the other, but it's still all football. For those of you joining in, don't forget the chat available button. You can always hop into the chat and throw comments out there and talk to me, ask questions, and talk with some of the other listeners that are actually online. Right now, we got QB Mama on. She's a SoCal resident and a listener that comes in, tunes in every once in a while. She has a little bit of inside information to some of the Midwest teams, I guess you could say. I don't know, is that Midwest, Iron Belt? I'm not really sure what that area is called, but usually Chopper and Papa's on. Usually I have a couple listeners. Coach Duncan likes to listen. A couple other coaches. Coach Bartley's on a lot. So we will actually be talking about a bunch of little things this week. But before I go any further, I wanted to comment some on last week's show. Last week's show I had on the leading rushers for both leagues, both the NWFA, Lakeisha Johnson, and the IWFL, Monique Zaki. And a lot of people were wondering about the voice of Monique Zaki. Well, that was not her voice. That was my dad's voice. He was down visiting from Big Bear, and Monique was scared to have her voice heard on this. She was kind of timid and shy, so I had her answer all of the questions via email, and I told her that since she was so chicken, I was going to make a fool out of her. And I had my dad, since he was visiting, do all the read all of her questions and throw his little influx into it, and he did a great job, and I really appreciate him doing that. But it's funny, because she listened, and she was like, that was classic. Your dad can be me anytime he wants. I love how I tried to cover it up, saying that he had a slight case of laryngitis. So that was funny, and that was my little thing. So if you say no to being on the show, I'm still going to get you to answer my questions. I'm just going to have somebody else do it. And it was funny. Once they were listening to the show, Wheels, we'll call her, she was like, who does he have on the show saying? And she started guessing who all the people that I knew that might pretend to be her. And when she heard it was my dad, she just died laughing. So. But she enjoyed it, so it went over well, and I hope everybody learned some things. Those were her real answers, by the way. So it's funny how both of the leading rushers, their, I guess, responses to my questions were really similar. It just, you know, goes to that classic statement, great minds think alike. Well, great athletes, I guess, do the same things. So let me recap what I'm going to go over today. I'm going to start off with women's football, as I always do. And don't forget, if you want to hop in the chat room, throw some questions out there. If you want to call in and get your voice heard, the number is 347-826-7278. And for those of you watching football on television, Kansas State is playing Louisville right now. This is another Wednesday night where there's an actual game. This is not high school, so there actually might be more of a base involved this time. There goes my numbers. Oh, no. Got to lose sponsors. Oh, I guess you have to have sponsors to lose them, right? So I won't be worried about that yet. I'm drinking some Capri Sun. It's very good and nice and cold. So we're going to go over women's football, and I threw a bunch of things out there about teams being announced or unannounced, and you know, everybody can basically go do their research on their own and find out what teams are where, who's left, which ones have folded. Since, you know, a lot of people don't have the time to do that and don't want to because they need it off time, I went and did it for you. So I'll go over that. Then we'll delve into some of the NFL. And there's like six or seven games with some significance this weekend, and I'll go over a couple of those games, see what some of your opinions are out there. And then lastly, I'll go over college football, because college football is my love, and I will try and put some real thought into all that stuff and did a lot of research over the past couple days. I will actually be in Tallahassee this weekend. The Third and Long game day crew, which consists of me and my significant other, Kara, she'll be decked out in all of her fair weather stuff, Florida State stuff, now that she's a bandwagoner and roots for all the teams that I root for, we'll be decked out in Garnet and we'll be enjoying the Wake Forest Florida State game. So I'll be covering all those little things then. So let me first start with women's football. The IWFL website has a new poll on it, and it used to say, what region do you think the IWFL should have more teams in? And there were all kinds of ones, and you could vote, and I don't know what impact that had, but now it's changed. It's now, what city? And this is what I find very interesting, because maybe they're weeding it down to places where they should start teams, and the two that stuck out to me were San Antonio and Denver. San Antonio would be a great base because that would give them a team close to Albuquerque, and both the Texas teams, Houston and Dallas. So that would add more flavor to that region. And then there's Denver. Denver's a huge area. And my boss actually is from Denver and works in Denver. And I was amazed how he came down to do one of our reviews for my group, and he scheduled it on a weekend that we had a home game. And he came down, he's like, this is so awesome. He's like, does Denver have a team? I was like, surprisingly enough, no. Especially for, you know, what a football town that is and how much support sports teams get in that area. I was kind of surprised that they don't have a team. So those two teams, you know, probably deserve a city. And, you know, if you know some people living there, tell them, put it out there. Get it all going to maybe get some teams voted in on that cities and start it in, because that would expand. We don't have enough Western teams. I mean, we have plenty along the coastline in California, but we don't have the state teams, the Oklahomas, Denver, Colorado, Boise. Boise would probably be another good place. I know they have a Sixes team, or had a Sixes team, but they actually are part of the college. So that was pretty cool when I got to see them play a couple years ago. Let me see. The teams I couldn't announce last week were announced actually on Wednesday. I guess right before I did my show, they updated the IWFL website. They announced the Modesto Maniacs. That was one of the two teams I had told you would be joining, but I wasn't allowed to say anything. Modesto Maniacs, I believe they're formerly of the Modesto Magic, and that was in the NWFA. So there's another team switching over for various reasons. Who knows? Don't care. Just as long as, you know, they're continuing to play football. That's a great thing. So that brings the total of new teams for the 2009 season in the IWFL to like seven. Was it Modesto, Houston, Louisville, Tennessee, Philadelphia, the Empire State Roar, which I'll get back to you, and then another one that has yet to be announced. So that's one that there's one more that I know of, and if we could add a San Antonio and or Denver, that would be great. So back to the Empire State Roar, though. They actually have the IWFL logo listed on their website, but they have recently updated it saying that the team is for sale. So I will see if I can find out some information, or maybe the ladies at WFB Talk will find that out, and we'll keep you updated on that. Remember, their show is on Sundays at 3 p.m. BJ, Megan, Rob, and all them girls over there talking football. The IBFL also put on there they have footballs for sale. So that's pretty cool. For those of you who don't have or want to own your own piece of the IWFL, you can get a football. I mean, I have one in my room. I was thinking what the leagues could do to raise money, or maybe some of the teams could do, is have, like, the leading rushers or maybe the championship team sign a football and put it on, not necessarily eBay, but put it out there for people to bid on, because I'm sure that would be a collector's item somewhere down the road. You know, sometime you may be able to put it into the Women's Football Hall of Fame or maybe the Pro Football Hall of Fame when we eventually get there. So that's always nice. Let's see. The NWFA has added the Keystone Assault, the Jacksonville Dixie Blues, who took last year off and should be starting up the 2009 season, the Lone Star Mustangs, who have a website up and going. I think it's based in the Dallas area. And then you have the Ventura Black Widows. Now, the two leagues differentiate in how they update their websites. The IWFL probably won't update their website with teams until November after the league meetings in October. I don't know when they're accepting teams too. So that they'll probably have to wait till November to see what teams are actually folded and or have left. The NBFA has lost the Philadelphia Phoenix, the Arizona Wildfire, but they actually became a new team, the Marana She Devils, the Modesto Magic, the Alabama Renegades, the Chattanooga Locomotion. So those are the teams that they lost, or at least are no longer listed on their website. So when you go to the teams function, you can see that they're no longer there. And I had a couple of little research methods that I did to do that. The WPFL website still works, hasn't been updated in forever. The Toledo Rain and Indiana Speed are having a season. Just them two. They're going to play each other. Just so the girls are still playing football, so that's cool. It's not really a league. It's just kind of two teams staying in existence until somebody says, hey, we want you in our league. So that's cool. At least they're playing football. And it's sad that they're trying to compete with, you know, the high school, college, and pros during this time of the season, but they're getting to play and they're still in their same season. So hopefully, you know, if they decide to join one of the two leagues, that'll be cool. They'll be ready and be well prepared because they started early. The one team still waiting to make a decision, or probably has folded, the SoCal Scorpions, who was a great team. They ended on a high note. They won a championship. So, well, I guess we're waiting to see on them. I had one of the coaches on a couple weeks ago, Coach Mark Ring, who I've known for several years. So we're waiting to see what they do. So that was very interesting. So I know the deadline is September 30th for the NWFA. Like I said, the IWFL, I haven't seen anything, but I have a feeling that they will try and get everything done before their league meetings at the end of October. So let's check on the chat board and see what people are saying out there. We got QB Mama. She's actually voting for Denver, what region to put in, or what city to put a new team in. And then she said BJ says Colorado Springs used to have a team. So, and of course, folded. And we're still wondering, we're in the championship DVD, the IWFL championship DVD, which was promised, is coming out. So I will get in touch with my league contacts and find that out. In fact, I probably might have a text tomorrow when they listen to my show and they hear that I've called them out. Where is that DVD? People want to know, where's that DVD? It was a great game. People need to see it and use it as a marketing tool for, look what this league can do. And do you want to be a part of it as it continues to grow? So that's pretty cool. I mean, just the shots from the field where you can see all the people in the stands, that'll be friggin' awesome. So that is basically all I had for the women's football today. I mean, there's not much going on out there. Oh, let me mention something else. There is a new team. I believe the ladies had Coach Bartley on this weekend about the California Lynx. Now, what's funny to me is nothing's been announced in the NWFA, and I know that I'm more familiar with the IWFL, but usually both leagues don't like anything being announced until they announce it first. So I was kind of surprised that that was put out there on the show on Sunday without the league actually putting it up there first. So, but he was the head coach of the California Quake at one time. He was the head coach of the SoCal Breakers this past season, and he was also a coach with me on the Long Beach Aftershock. So that has been announced, so the NWFA can add to the list with the California Lynx. It's an Orange County-based team by what I read up on. They will be having tryouts soon, and I'll probably go down there if I'm free that weekend to check it out, because I actually went to the SoCal Breakers one last year to, you know, see some old friends and stuff like that. So there's a bunch of fundraisers still going on for all the teams. I know that we have our turnaround trip at the end of the season, or at the end of the month, sorry, the 27th, where we're going to go to State Line, get some gambling and shopping done, and I'm pretty sure everybody's going to get totally blistered and belligerent and just have a good time and raise money for the team. And then we have a flag football tournament coming up October 5th, I believe it is, October 5th. And I think on my next show, I'm going to give you the details of that so that teams out there can use that to their advantage. Because if you have, like we do, a bunch of people who love football, a flag football tournament is something fun, minimal investment, and it's just something that you can raise a buttload of money in one day without having to wash a ton of cars or, you know, deal with selling stuff during a yard sale. You know, it's just stupid. QB Mama put the Chicago Force is having their golf outing this Sunday, the 21st. So anybody in the Chicago area that loves golf and wants to be a part of raising some money for a women's football team, check out their website. The October 4th is the Lynx Trials. That's what BJ was just telling me. So October 4th, I believe I have a party to go to on that day, so I may not be able to do it. Kara is having an 80s theme party for her birthday, so we will be unavailable to attend those trials. At least I know that none of our players will be there because they'll be at the party. And for those of you that are out, you know, not at the party, then I know that what's going on. But let's see. Let's go over to the NFL now. Let's digress from women's football. Everybody that's out there, the message boards are dead. So put your stuff out there so that people know when your fundraisers are. And I at least for one will mention it and let everybody go and use those ideas to raise their own team. And if you know they know people in those areas, they can spread the word. So the NFL games, we got a bunch of big games on this weekend. Carolina and Minnesota is the first intriguing one to me because Carolina is 2-0. Minnesota, they're not having a very good season. They haven't been playing bad. It's just their quarterback is not of NFL caliber. So what they did is they named Gus Frerotte their new starting QB for the rest of the season. So I don't know if that'll turn around them, but I mean, with Adrian Peterson back there, all you really have to do is manage the game by not throwing interceptions and handing the ball off to him. I mean, play action is going to work wonderfully with him in the backfield. The next game I have is St. Louis at Seattle. And I don't know if anybody's been reading ESPN or anything, but there is a lot of pressure in St. Louis for Scott Linehan to win because the owner said if things don't change, something will. And that usually means the head coach is fired. And I don't even care if he, you know, ends up 8-8. I'm pretty sure he'll be gone at the end of the season because he's had two very unsuccessful seasons, and he has a very high payroll. So, in Seattle, I mean, Holmgren's a lame duck coach. I mean, they've already named his successor. And so he will be out of there this year. And he's 0-2. And I've never been a big Seattle fan. I always thought they were overrated. I think Holmgren's a good coach. But Hasselbeck has never been good. I don't think Julius Jones is an every down back. Never thought he was in Dallas as well. The Pittsburgh-Philly game is a very intriguing game, the battle of the state. Pittsburgh is doing very well. I mean, they had a great first week, and then last week was disastrous in Cleveland. I mean, it was a horrible game, and I think Romeo Crennel was coaching not to get blown out. But, I mean, yeah, they pulled out the victory, so they're 2-0. And then Philly had that barn burner with Dallas on Monday night. You know what? I didn't even get to see it. I was quite disappointed I didn't get to see it. And I don't really remember what I was doing, but I'm sure it was important for me to miss a good NFL game. I don't know. It was just it's just there. So they had that disappointing loss, and now they got to have Pittsburgh come to town with the pride of Pennsylvania on the line. And these two cities basically hate each other. So that should be a very inspiring game. Hopefully it's not, you know, dirty or anything, but it should put on some good football, especially some defensive football, hopefully. I'm not a big fan of barn burners. I like the close defensive games. Been in a couple, and I've been in both barn burners and close defensive games. I'd rather defensive game because it's more of a football game. Now, if it's ineptitude on offense, then that's different. But if it's two defenses just dominating and taking over the game, that's great football to me. Then we have an intriguing game with Jacksonville at Indy. Now, Jacksonville is everybody's favorite pick every year to unseat Indy. Well, Tennessee's the one that's 2-0. Jacksonville's 0-2, and Indianapolis is lucky to be 1-1. So that's a big game, because if Jacksonville loses, they're basically out. I mean, that's done right there. I mean, they would have to have some really bad games going on for the rest of their people in the division. I mean, I don't even think they've become a wild card choice anymore. The big thing with Jacksonville is that Bob Sanders is out for 4 to 6 weeks. This is, what, the third time in 3 years he's been out? Somebody needs to have surgery and then come back full strength. I mean, everybody says he's 5'8", you know, 215, and he's the battering ram and sold that defense. Well, if he's gone, I think Jacksonville has a very good chance to win that game. Sunday night, we got Dallas and Green Bay, and this is the only matchup of two 2-0 teams playing each other. Dallas has to travel up to Green Bay, and I think it's going to be a great game. This is Aaron Rodgers' first true test to see how he can do against a really good team, because Dallas can put up the points. Can Green Bay do it too? I think that'll be a really good game, and I plan on not missing that one. Monday night, San Diego will be hosting the Jets. Now, the New York Jets actually had a close loss to New England, who just keeps on winning. And now San Diego, they had a different kind of game. They actually had the game stolen from them by a referee. And referee's job is to stay out of the picture during the game, you know, not to affect the decision of the game. So they are going to be fighting for their lives not to go down 0-3. On that, New Orleans goes to Denver. And I don't think New Orleans will be so concerned with, you know, the refs on the field because of that one call. But they need a victory because they blew it again, and this time against Washington, who basically, New Orleans is way too talented to have Washington come back and beat them. So that was very surprising. But let's go back to that call. It's what, second down and goal from, like, the 6-yard line. And Jay Cutler rolls out, and goes to throw the ball. The only problem is the ball wasn't in his hand when he moved his arm. It was already on the ground because it slipped as he was pulling it up. And one of the things I teach my quarterback is as soon as you start rolling it out, you got to pull that ball up so you can throw it anytime you need to. Well, he was rolling with it in one hand, and then as he picked it up, he picked his arm up, the ball slipped out. He went through the same motion and then looked up in the air like, where'd the ball go? And it ended up that the ball went out of his hands, rolled back to the 10-yard line, and San Diego fell on it. And so they went back to the review, and they said it was, because it was called an incomplete pass on the field. And that's where the NFL and their instant replay is just crap, because it is. I hate the NFL instant replay. College instant replay is so much better. They send it up to a booth where people have big TVs and four different people are looking at it. So it's not just one person in a little miniature booth on the sideline going, I can't really see that. So could you play it again? Maybe zoom in some? Yeah, it's stupid. So then Ed Ockley goes to the thing and he says, yes, guys, it is a fumble. San Diego did recover, but I blew the whistle before he recovered it, so all we can do is say that it's a fumble at the 10-yard line. Denver then gets another chance, scores a touchdown, and they say, hey, we should have lost the game already. We're going to go for two. Then they get 2 points, and San Diego loses. What a heartbreaking way to lose a game. And that's about the worst-case scenario for a ref. And there's two refs in the NFL that I love, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but Ed Hockley is one of the best. And for people to send him hate mail and say that he needs to be fired is just crap. For anybody that's been a part of women's football, you know that officials make mistakes all the time. And we don't have the advantage of having instant replay. And my dad called me immediately after the game. He's like, can you believe that crap call? I was like, well, I get those all the time on me. I was like, what's different? He's like, but that was, they get paid. And I'm like, so we pay our refs. It may not be the same thing, but they have the same responsibility to make the best call they can. They make a mistake, it changes the impact of the game. It happens, you know. It sucks, but it happens. I mean, I'm not too frustrated over it. My dad was pissed. He ended up hanging up on me. So it was funny, and it's just I just don't understand why people are freaking out. He made a mistake. He admitted he made a mistake, and he actually feels bad about making it. The NFL has graded him down so that now he probably won't get as many, if any, at all, playoff games. So he just, you know, Ed Hockley is a great ref, and he's a lawyer in his, I guess, other job, which is funny because they make six figures. And it's just crazy that they have second jobs. If I made six figures, I wouldn't have a second job. I mean, I don't make six figures right now, and I have a second voluntary job with football. So that's just funny that they do that. But, I mean, people need to chill out and relax. People make mistakes. And, yes, it did cost the game. But it was the second week of the season, and the Chargers will have plenty of time to make up that. Now, if it ends up that Denver and San Diego are tied and that changes their seeding in the playoffs, probably have more of an effect. But right now, it's the second week of the season. Plenty of time for everything to, you know, balance itself out. So that was the big thing this weekend with that. So I was kind of just shocked that people can freak out that much about such a little thing. So now I'm going to buzz all off to college football. And for those of you who don't know, pop in the chat room. Chat available. Got a new guy in there, Experto. Experto, hello. How are you doing? Welcome to the show. This is Third and Long with Coach Penn. I'm Coach Penn. Covered women's football, covered the NFL, and now I'm going to delve into college football, the love of my life. I love college football. It's so much fun. The rivalry, and just the sounds of the game. There's so much history and camaraderie when it comes to college football. I mean, I went to a big Division I school, Florida State, and there's nothing like it. Of course, I grew up in the South, Southeast to be particular, and everything down there is just football crazy. It's not like Southern California where people are only fans when USC is winning. So let's go over some of the results from this weekend. I remember I started, you know, everybody said the Big East and ACC were jokes of the NCAA, BCS, I guess, conferences. And it's so funny because in their worst weeks, they did not have as bad a week as the Pac-10 did this week. The Pac-10 beat Ohio State. USC beat Ohio State, and beat is probably an understatement. They just utterly crushed them. But Ohio State is a joke, first of all. So I think it's funny that people are saying USC is the best team ever. And they did that before, and they ended up losing to Texas. So slow your roll on the whole USC is the greatest team ever, because they trounced Ohio State. Ohio State's been trounced by two teams 2 years in a row that were basically just faster than them. And USC has speed. They have lots of talent, lots of speed, but they will not play anybody until they get to the bowl game. So congratulations, USC, on a Pac-10 title. Try not to trip over yourselves on the way there. That's happened 2 years in a row now. But the rest of the Pac-10, they were 0-6. 0-6. They were 1-6 on the entire weekend in game. Or no, 2-6, sorry. Oregon pulled out a squeaker at the end over Purdue. So they actually had some horrible games. Arizona State, ranked 13th, lost to UNLV. Who? Unlove? Yeah, exactly. Then just some other, a BYU utterly killed, I mean, dismantled, 59-0 UCLA. Embarrassing. And this was after UCLA beat a good Tennessee team, so obviously traveling was really far off there. My upset of the week last week was Fresno State over Wisconsin. And if Fresno State could kick a field goal, it would have came true. But they missed three of them and ended up losing 13-10. Fresno State played a very good game against a very, very superior opponent, and they kept up with them. Yeah, I think their offensive coordinator or whoever was calling those offensive plays needs to be just shot in the head or at least beaten severely. I mean, they had so much speed on Wisconsin, and they kept on running right up the middle. I did make those mistakes as a first-year play caller. Don't get me wrong. It does happen, but nobody that's an offensive coordinator in the NCAA Division I is a first year. So it's just crazy for that to have happened. ACC did pretty well. Big East redeemed itself somewhat. The Big 12 and SEC keep rolling. Georgia had a scare against South Carolina. Auburn played baseball 3-2 against Mississippi State, and that was not so much a great defensive game, but just both offenses were horrible. So that leads to this week where there's a bunch of good games, and there's, I think, two or three between ranked opponents. I believe it may be just two. It is just two. Yeah, just two. So I got about 8 to 10 games picked out, and I'm going to start with the highest ranked team, which Actually, I'll start with Thursday game. I'll start with Thursday game because West Virginia got upset by East Carolina, had a week off, and now they get to play Colorado. Is Colorado for real? This is Dan Hawkins' third season, I believe, and his second with his son as the quarterback, Cody. They have played two nobodies so far, and they're 2-0, and they weren't really convincing wins. Now they get to say, West Virginia, come on over here to the West Coast, or at least the Mountain Coast, and see what you can do up here in this altitude. Appalachian and Rockies are totally two different, you know, altitudes, so there will be an adjustment, and West Virginia either has to wake up or Colorado has to prove they're for real. That'll be a very interesting game, and I think that the overall athleticism of West Virginia should, you know, carry them to the victory, but you never know. Next game, number three. Now I'll start with the whole by ranking thing. Georgia travels to the idiots from Arizona State. This was supposed to be the big game of the weekend because it was SEC, Pac-10, undefeated, ranked teams clashing. Well, now it's Georgia traveling all the way across country for the first time since 1920 or something like that. No, it was 1959, I think it was, for when they last played USC. And Arizona State fell asleep against UNLV because they just basically stopped playing when they're up by three touchdowns. And UNLV came back. So Arizona State, this is a redemption game to put the Pac-10 back to some respectability, and this is for Georgia to say, hey, listen, we might not only won by a touchdown, but we're still the SEC, and all we have to do is win games because we're in the hardest conference in the country. So that should be interesting. That's on ABC. That's the night game, 5 o'clock on the West Coast, 8 p.m. on the East Coast. So I will not be able to watch that game as I will be at a game right then. Number four. So we got Georgia ranked number three and Florida ranked number four. Florida goes to Tennessee. Good old Rocky Top. And for those of you who have never been to a Tennessee game in Tennessee, holy cow. They sing that damn song a million times. Do you think the USC song is annoying with their little V's? Doom-da-doom-da-doom-da-doom. No. Okay. Rocky Top song is the most annoying song I've ever heard in my entire life, especially when it's sung by 115,000 people. This used to be a huge rivalry with Fulmer and Steve Spurrier. It has since dwindled. I believe that Urban Meyer is undefeated against the big rivalries of Florida. Actually, no, they lost to Georgia last year, so he's only lost one game to Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida State, and that was to Georgia last year. So it should be an interesting game because you can't just walk into, Neyland Stadium? I think it's Neyland Stadium, and expect to win. You have to really bring your A game. Tim Tebow has been there before, but this will be the first time he started there. So should be an interesting and old rivalry renewed. And Tennessee already have a loss on the record, so they need to get that going. Experto wants to talk. Let's go ahead and unmute him. I don't know who the block number is, but we'll get to him second. So I don't know who Experto is, but if he would like to talk, go ahead and welcome him to the show. How are you doing, Experto? Okay, I guess he doesn't want to talk. So, since he is online, if you want to hop in the chat room, put your question on, and you know, say, hey, I do want to talk, we'll go ahead and unmute you. Let's go ahead and try the block number, see if the block number wants to talk.
Hello?
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 Yes, I can hear you. This is Coach Penn, and you're on right now.
I'm Experto.
You're Experto?
Yes.
Oh, how are you doing?
Me, good.
Real good. So, you would like to go by Experto?
Yes, I'm from Borat.
You're from Borat?
Yeah, I'm the actor.
Okay. Well, what are you doing tonight? What brought you to the show?
I'm talking sports.
Talking sports.
Yeah.
What sport in particular are we talking about?
Jets. And the Mets.
What was that? Football.
Yes, and the Mets and baseball.
I'm not a baseball. This is football.
Oh.
Yeah, we're just talking about the football here. The Mets, they're in the midst of a pennant race right now. They're trying to actually get the wild card, for those of you not sure. But they are actually, I think they won tonight, but the Phillies also beat the Braves. So they're still 2.5 games out of the Phillies, and I think they have a half game on, who is it, Houston. So they still have the wild card, but let's hope they don't falter like they did last year.
They're a half game behind Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? Oh, the game at half high in Philadelphia. Yeah, the Phillies are in first, right?
Yeah, they back in half game.
Oh, game, half game, okay. Well, like I said, we really talk about football here, so I'm going to go ahead and go back to my rundown of the college football. So thank you for listening, though, okay?
All right, talk about the Jets.
Talk about the Jets?
Yes.
What about the Jets? They're called the New York Brets. You didn't get that change, the New York Brets?
New York Brets.
Yeah, the New York Brets. They lost a heartbreaker this weekend against the Patriots, and I'm not really sure why, but they couldn't get their running game going, and they made a little mistake, but he lost his home opener, and not a big deal. I still think they're a very good team, and with Brett Favre at the helm, they always have a chance. I don't necessarily agree with his playing style, but he will never quit, and he will always give it his all. So I think that is a plus for the Jets, and we will all continue to live on the edge of our seats watching him play this whole season. And, you know, you never know. We might get busted with another season next year because it's always nice to see somebody with his, I guess, competition ferocity just out there. So,
yeah.
So thank you very much, Experto. I appreciate you listening to the show, and look forward to seeing you on next week as well.
Yeah. Also, that's to fire Coach Mangini.
Coach who?
Mangini.
Coach Mangini, I'm not a fan of the Belichick tree, and Mangini is on the Belichick tree.
Yeah.
So I am not really big on him, so I really don't have anything to say.
Have to fire him, right?
Do what about him?
Fire him.
I don't really have anything to say about him, you know, just he's the coach of the Jets, and he was brave for bringing Brett Favre in there, and it's looking like he's a smart man because of it. So
yeah, but he made mistakes on Sunday.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've never been a fan of the Belichick tree, and he's one in particular because I just don't understand some of the things he does as a coach. I mean, a lot of coaches out there do some questionable things, and he's only been there a couple of years, so he may not have his whole coaching style figured out. But, I mean, I'm not a fan of everybody that's on the Belichick tree of coaching and thinking that he's the best there is. I just don't see that at all.
Yeah, Belichick is a cheater.
Well, it's not so much he's a cheater. I mean, he did what he did to gain an advantage, and, I mean, he got caught. So, I mean, he thought he was doing the best thing for his team. He apologized. He paid some fines, not enough fines, but I'm sure it'll always be a little asterisk next to everything he's done is that he got caught cheating, no matter how severe or minuscule you think it is. So,
yeah.
So thank you very much for calling in.
All right, my name is Bert. I love you.
Oh, we all love you for listening.
All right,
BJ. Thank you. That was our first real, like, unknown caller, so thanks for calling in, and let me go back to the college football. She actually had some real questions, and let me just spitball there, so that was nice. So what was it? We went over the Florida game. That was 3-4, and now 6-10. 6-10, 6-10 are both SEC teams. That's 4 SEC teams in the top 10. This game is huge. 10 years. It's been 10 years since LSU got a win in Auburn. Now, they don't play every year because there are like 12 or 13 teams in the SEC, so you can't play everybody every year. You mostly stick to your division. So 10 years, though, 1998, since they won at Auburn. And the last time they played there was a 7-3. So I expect it to be another close game where LSU is probably going to pull out the victory. And I think it'll be close until the fourth quarter where LSU is going to really have their people take over, and they'll probably win by a couple touchdowns. But those kind of SEC battles are always phenomenal, just like the Georgia-South Carolina one. I mean, you would have never expected it to be so close, and it was. So that's great. And also, the SEC opener is next. SEC opener is Alabama at Arkansas, and that's at 12:30 Eastern time, 9:30 our time. So I will definitely be asleep because I'll still be on West Coast time out there. So the opener, Alabama and Arkansas, huge rivalry. Arkansas is the best team that's 2-0 that hasn't played anybody. So that's a funny little statement. They haven't played anybody. They basically be getting Petrino's feet wet. And we'll see what he can do against Alabama. And guess what? Alabama's ranked ninth. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams in the top 10 by the SEC. not okay with by me. Not okay. They're good, but they're not that good. I think Alabama is very overrated, and they'll be exposed here shortly. Not this weekend. If they are exposed this weekend, that'll be a huge upset. Not my upset of the week. Boise State and Oregon. Crazy right there. That is a big game. Oregon has never... Oregon lost their quarterback. They lost their starting quarterback for 4 to 6 weeks, I think it was. So now they will be starting, at least they're at home, which is Alton Stadium, which is just an insane place to play because the fog and the crowd, the reverberation of sound in there is just insane by what I've been told from people that were part of the UGA traveling school, USC traveling squads a while back. So Boise State is looking to earn its first true road win over a ranked team. A couple years ago, they had that just insane run where they went 13 or 14-0 and they beat Oklahoma in what, single or double or triple overtime on the Statue of Liberty 2-point conversion. And Ian Johnson was a sophomore then, and now he's a senior, and they've never won a true road game, and a true road game means one team's home, one team's away. Well, that game, though it was in the Fiesta Bowl, neither team was home. So now they go on the road against a very good Oregon team, who I think is one of the best teams in the country. We'll have to see how they do with a backup quarterback. So that should probably be a very close game. I don't expect it to be a blowout by any means. Oregon squeaked by this past weekend, and now they'll really have to wake up because Boise State is not a slack team. They're under the radar this year, which you should never count the boys from Blue Turf out under the radar. They're never out of it. Then we have an intriguing game. Now, this doesn't involve two ranked teams, but I throw it out there just for, you know, giggles. Virginia Tech at UNC. UNC just killed Rutgers last week on, I think it was a Friday night game. So now it's like, are they for real? Well, they get to prove themselves against Virginia Tech. It's a 3:30 game. And if they beat Virginia Tech, they send Virginia Tech to 2-2, and UNC goes to 3-0. And that'll mark the first time they've been 3-0 since 1997, I think, when Mack Brown was a coach. And everybody knows where Mack Brown is, University of Texas, and he has 5 or 6 straight winning 10-win seasons, which is our record for Texas. So that's a big start for them and their coach, Butch Davis. Then we have Wake Forest at Florida State. This is probably the only game versus ranked opponents in the ACC this year. I will be there. I might do the whole call-in thing and give a couple updates from the game so I can play a couple bits so people can hear what the chop sounds like in person, the tomahawk chop. It's pretty cool. When I first took my girlfriend, she was like, are you freaking kidding me? And we went 2 years ago during a blackout game. Well, they're going to do a garnet out game this time, and it should be pretty cool. So the ACC battle, Wake Forest has won 2 years in a row. Prior to that, Florida State had won 14 straight times. Florida State has played two just nobodies, but they have done what they're supposed to. They've just killed them. So that was nice to know that we've actually done what we're supposed to do, because the last couple of years when we played Troy and University of Alabama Birmingham, we haven't done so well. So to take two FCS teams and really dominate the whole game was really nice to see. Wake Forest had a squeaker against Ole Miss a couple of weeks ago. So they actually had an extra bye to prepare, and we'll see what they have for us. It should be a great game with tons of athletes and lots of smart people on the field, because Wake Forest is one of those schools where it's hard to get into. In fact, a tidbit for those of you who don't know, Wake Forest has the smallest enrollment of any Division I school. So the fact that they have a team that has won the ACC 1 year and is competing for one 2 more years is pretty monumental. So my upset of the week goes to the last game. We got Utah at Air Force. Now, I don't think Utah is a bad team, and that wasn't why I picked this. I think Air Force is a very underrated team. I think they are consistently, year in and year out, the best of the enlisted teams. You know, you got Army, Navy, Coast Guard doesn't carry a team, I don't think. Yeah, Coast Guard doesn't. Then you got Army, Navy, Air Force, so that's... Yeah, Marines don't have one. Anybody else know of anyone's out there? Anybody listening? I don't think so. I think it's just those three, right? So you got the armed services, and you got the Army, Navy, and Air Force. And I think Air Force is consistently up there with the best of them. And I think they're both 3-0 in the Mountain West this year. And because they have to go to Air Force in Colorado Springs, it should be a pretty good game. And I think that Air Force really has a good chance to pull out the victory and knock off another ranked team. So far, several ranked teams have been knocked off this year. At least two more will have losses this week because we have LSU at Auburn and we have Wake Forest at Florida State. So Air Force has a chance to earn some kudos and maybe get ranked themselves by beating a Utah team that is 3-0. So there's my upset of the week. And for those of you that listen to my show, thank you very much. I want to thank Experto for calling in and talking and, you know, finally getting me to talk about the Jets. That was pretty cool for me. So those of you listening, thank you very much. I think you could probably catch the end of the Kansas State-Louisville game next week. I don't remember what I said I was going to talk about. BJ, do you remember? No, you don't? Well, next week, I know that I'm – oh, this is the big thing I'm going to do next week. Next week, now that 3 weeks starts, it'll be 3 full weeks and basically into the 4th week of the season – 3 full weeks of the college football season will be done. I will actually rank my top 15. I will rank the top 15 because I think the polls come out too soon. So I'll rank the top 15, by my estimation, top 15 teams in college football next week. That'll be pretty cool. BJ sent me some tape, actually some video on the Whittier College, which is right up the road from me, of 1957 game film, and I got to look at some of that, and it was too funny watching some of those guys play. Just, you know, it's such a different style of football. And basically what I'll try and do is get some of the old school coaches on that run some of these old school power eye, wing T type formations and see if I can get that on. I'm not sure if that's going to be a next week type thing, but that'll be a future type reference that I get to, and then I'm going to break down the fundraiser that we're doing, the flag football, so you guys can all steal that one and use it to your advantage to help raise money, something fun, and it gets people experience and really get your name out there. And, of course, I will go over the college and pro football games of the week like I always do. I'm not sure if the announcement will be made of that last team that I know of joining the IWFL. Hopefully that'll be finalized by them. And maybe I'll have some information on the championship game DVD. Hint, hint, Kez and Laurie. We can find out to see whether that's actually on the horizon. And September is almost over. So that'll be nice to see. Actually, when I do the whole old-style offense, I'm probably going to bring in some spread people, too, because I actually got in touch with a couple coaches that run the spread, and there's an A11 offense out there now. And then, of course, there's my spread, which is a totally different type of offense that is a version of the A11, but mine's been around one more year longer, and I think because it's California, they may have seen some film on it from me. And then we have the wing tee, which a couple teams still run, since most of the teams around here cannot find a good QB. There are a few exceptions, Vegas, Chicago, Dallas's QB can throw. Let me see who else is out there. Western Michigan obviously can throw. So I think there's only a couple teams that consistently threw more than they passed. So, and having seen the Chicago QB in person, I know Grisoffi can throw, even though they might not have all season. So let's just say thank you tonight. For those of you listening, I want to say really thank you. I appreciate you, you know, spending an hour of your time with me on Wednesday nights. Remember, every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so all you East Coasters understand if you listen to this at a later time, but just know that you can't actually ask questions and put your voice in. So if you ever hear me say something that you really are infuriated by, just say, you know what, I got to actually listen live on next Wednesday. And then you can say, you know, Coach Penn, you're an idiot. I don't know why you're doing that. So hopefully we'll have some more things. Everybody keep recruiting for the new seasons. You know, just because it's off season doesn't mean you stop working out and you stop getting the name out there. Raise money and get more recruits, because the more ladies we have playing, the better the teams will be. It's not because we have horrible coaches and we have no money or practice facilities, because we don't have the numbers. The more numbers we have, puts the pressure for everybody to actually listen and learn and get better as a team, you know. To see the 70 or so people in Chicago standing on the sideline was just amazing to me. So I hope that one day I'm there where I can say, you know what, you 15 can't dress this weekend because these people outperformed you. So once again, everybody, thank you very much for listening to Third and Long with Coach Penn. Every Wednesday at 7, Thursdays you can catch, or was it Sundays you can catch the ladies on WFB Talk. And I hear they're looking for a new show, so if you have some things to say, contact your BJ and them and see what they got out there. Thank you once again, everybody, and have a wonderful evening.